Welcome to episode 7 of the Threes Company Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rowe. In this podcast episode, we cover the thumb rule, listening sessions, building relationships with difficult employees, and how these leaders take care of themselves and handle their self-care. We interview Travis Jordan, superintendent, Tyrone Turner, head football coach, and Mary Swanson, district instructional coach. There's a lot to fill in, so let's go. Welcome to the Threes Company Leadership Podcast. We are joined with our first guest on episode 7, Travis Jordan, who is the superintendent at in Beulah, North Dakota. This is his fourth year there. He's a father of four. He's an author, a speaker. His book is The Connection Over Conformity. Awesome read for people to go check out. And you can follow him at @soup_Jordan if you want to get some more nuggets from this guy. So, Mr. Jordan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing, Mike?
Oh, we're doing well. How about you give us a little rundown of your time through education and how you ended up as the superintendent at Beulah Public Schools?
Sure. Started my teaching career at the same place I started my schooling career when I was in kindergarten, way up northeast North Dakota, Starkweather, North Dakota. I spent 1 year there, and then I was quite honestly, I was in education more for the fact of coaching, which drew me into education, and did that for a few years, and now I found leadership as my passion and admin. But I went to Langdon, North Dakota for 5 years after that, and coached basketball and taught social studies. And it was there where there was two guys that were in administration there that encouraged me to go get my administrative credential. And I did that. And like I said, I fell in love with it and found a deep passion for it, and started my administrative career in Cooperstown, North Dakota, which is pretty much in the center of the state, a little bit towards the east, I guess. If anybody knows North Dakota, it's above Valley City. Spent 3 years doing principal work there, and then the superintendent retired. And they had asked me to jump into that role, and I wasn't quite sure if I was ready. But then I thought, well, if there was ever a time to do it, it'd be now. And so I jumped in and fell in love with that role, and spent there a couple of years there. And then we wanted to get closer to family, so we moved back towards Bismarck, and I spent 1 year at Shiloh Christian School as the superintendent there. And then they had an opening over here in Beulah, and they asked me to apply, and I did, and I fell in love with this place, and my family loves it here, and hopefully spend many more years here. So,
yeah, no doubt, the old miners of Beulah, and all those towns you listed, I have been there, so I've been to every one of those places either or visited. So you know that's how it's quite the trip throughout North Dakota there. So yeah, you've been kind of dabbed a little bit everywhere. So you got some good experiences with that, you know, through that journey. You kind of touched on it. And maybe they're going to be the ones that you talk about here, but you know, who are the people that have maybe helped shape you as a leader, that mentored you and kind of helped you become the person that you kind of are today?
Sure. There's so many. Wade Fowle was the superintendent at Griggs County Central when I was there. And he basically brought me into his office on the first days I was there. And he said, the high school is your high school and you can do what you want with it. If you need any help or you need any advice, you come and see me. Other than that, I'm going to be hands off and I'm going to let you do your thing. And we had a rough year. We went through a suicide that year. And him and I ended up going through a lot of things together. And so he really shaped me into administration. And then I guess not one particular person, but I found Twitter to be so valuable for educators. And I came across the Joyful Leaders hashtag, and I'm sure your listeners probably know what that is, but that is a place where I go to on a daily basis that basically mentors me and shapes my mind and reinforces my passion for what I'm doing. But Bethany Hill, principal down in Arkansas, whom I've never met in person, but we've talked quite extensively through Twitter, has been instrumental in shaping my mindset for for education. And so there's a few superintendents in the state of North Dakota that I go to on a daily basis that are seasoned and veteran. Dr. Mike Bitz, he's in Mandan. I serve on the Education Commission of the States with him, which is appointed by the governor, and we go and we do education policy throughout the United States. A couple times a year we go. He's one guy that I go to and I look to for help. And also Dr. Rob Leck used to be the superintendent here in Beulah, but now he's over in Jamestown. Those guys have been great mentors for me in this field. So lots of people.
Yeah, no doubt. And I agree with you 100% that Twitter is kind of the place if you're in education where you're going to meet people all the time. And Mike Bitz, I know out of your list there, and yeah, he's salt of the earth person. So that's a pretty awesome list of people there to get you where you are. This one's kind of been where I've been driving a lot of my discussion to lately is self-care. And so what do you do to take care? You know, you're a father of four, you know, married, you've got a lot of things going on plus the school. So what do you do to take time for yourself to get that self-care that you need?
Yeah, you're right. Four kids keeps me, they're all under the age of 11. So they keep me quite busy. It seems like when I'm not at office, I'm chasing them around for sporting events or whatnot. But yeah, usually my self-care usually takes place after they go to bed or before they wake up in the morning. I used to be an athletic individual when I was in high school and just coming out of high school. And then I just kind of just let it go. My oldest son has found a passion in running and he keeps asking me to run with him. And I started doing that. And it's amazing how much better I feel. I get up in the mornings, I go work out, and then I get ready for the day. And so it's, you know, all the cliche stuff they said, oh, you'll feel better if you work out or your mind will be better. And I never believed any of it. But now I found a passion in working out in the mornings and then finding time to work out with my son and run with my son. We just did our first 5K the other day and I thought I was going to die, but I made it through. But just those things. And I always tell our teachers, you know, you can't take care of your students if you're not taking care of yourself. And so sometimes I have to heed my own advice and make sure that I'm taking care of myself. And so, yeah, that's what I do. I like to golf as well when I get a spare time and I like to shoot baskets. And so those are some of the things that I do and spend time with family and go camping. We do all those things. So, yeah.
Well, that. Good things and can do it anytime that you can kind of bond right with your kids doing something too. That's a great way to kind of get some of that stress out of your way. How do you evaluate your effectiveness as a leader?
I think the best way to evaluate anything is to listen to the people that are around you. You know, I can gauge the temperature of this building or of our buildings just by walking in them. And I know that I'm tasked with setting that temperature. And so having conversations with the people that are working for me or working for us diving into their stories and listening to them, I think that's the best way. And visiting with people in the community. I know you probably do surveys and that sort of thing, but I just think that how people speak about Beulah Public Schools is a way for me to measure how Beulah Public Schools is doing. And so, yes, having conversations with people from all over our communities and trying to gauge it that way, I think is probably the best. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you there. If you can't gauge the temperature, you're not going to last long in administration. Right. That's basically kind of because by the time you figure it out right through a survey, you're not going to be where you need to be. So yeah, I agree with you there. Which is the most important piece to your organization? Is it your mission, your core values, or your vision, or do you have like a combination right of kind of all?
I just had this conversation with our high school principal and we talked about mission and vision and core values and I'm kind of, you know, I'm not big on mission. I mean, I know schools should have a mission statement and a vision statement, but I've always been on the theory that it's better to be on a mission than to have a mission. And so I'm not saying mission is not important, but your core values, I think, are probably the most important. Actually shape what you do every day. I mean, your core values come directly from your heart and your passion for what you're doing. And so I believe that that would, those are the things that drive your school. And then again, with your vision, I think that's, that goes hand in hand with core values is, you know, what do you want the school to look like? When I first came to Beulah, they did have some culture and climate issues that existed, between board, superintendent, business office, teachers, just a lot of mistrust. And it was one of the things that kind of drove me to Beulah, because I thought, well, this is perfect. This is a perfect scenario for me to come in and try to fix it, because my passion lies within the culture and climate of a school district. And so I thought, why not? You know, and so I came here and I just started valuing people's opinions. And I mean, once you do that, you start, they feel appreciated and they feel like they're a part of something. And I'm not saying it was a sole factor of myself, but our advanced ed visit came the next year, and they rated our culture and climate as one of the best cultures and climates in the state of North Dakota. And so it had nothing to do with what I knew about education, but it had everything to do with how I know how to treat people and how we should treat people and how we should value people, because everybody has something that they can bring to the table that will benefit the district. And so that's kind of our value. We value each other. We value each other's opinions, and we know that everybody has something special to bring to the table. And so, I suppose that's being on a mission rather than having a mission. But I think your core values actually shape and mold the culture and climate of your school district. So I'd say those are the most important.
Core values is kind of, you know, I agree with you that that is the most important driving, because it's kind of ties into that vision. But I've seen schools where they have a 2-page mission statement, and I don't know,
right,
how are you supposed to follow that when you can't even memorize it, you know? So
right,
kind of how it goes, right, there. And this question kind of ties into this. It's, you know, new teacher season, they're coming in. So how do you help new teachers as they come into Beulah Public Schools help understand like the culture that you guys have developed in your organization?
Well, the first thing we do, and it's getting a lot harder because it's harder to find teachers. We still have a few openings that we haven't had any applicants for. But when we hire our teachers, we try to make sure that we hire teachers that have the same belief and mindset that we have. And so that's number one. But we do our own in-house mentor program. We also have the mentor program in the state, but I try to pair a new teacher with one of our, you know, rock stars for culture and climate of the school district. And that seems to help. But in everything that we say and everything that we do, basically, like, ties back into that last question. It ties into our values. Like, our value last year was our core value last year, our vision last year, I guess. I guess you call it mission too. But was to prioritize passion over GPA. A child's passion is more important than their GPA, and I know that's probably up for arguing, I guess, but we truly believe that if we find our child's passion and we wrap their curriculum around that passion, that they're going to want to be here, and if they're going to want to be here, then they're going to do well, and they're going to feel appreciated. You can walk into our staff room, and there's a list of, and I'll tie back into the answer to this question, but there's a list of all of our students on a poster in every single one of our staff rooms. And next to their names is, I know this child's passion. I can recognize this child in a hallway. And so when our teachers walk in there, they look, and if there's not a check mark next to a kid, they say, "Ah, we don't know this child's passion. That's my goal today, is to go find this child's passion." Well, the same rings true for helping our employees understand what we value in them and what we want them to value in our school is what is this teacher's passion? You know, do we know each other's passions? Do we know the values that we have within ourselves and each other? I mean, do we have conversation? We so focus on kids that we forget that we can be human, right? And so we really try to ingrain a culture of collaboration a culture of having conversations that don't even probably mirror school, but mirror life. And I think that goes a long ways to show our employees that, hey, this is more than just education. Because 1 in 5 kids come to our schools every day with mental health and trauma issues, but 1 in 5 adults are walking in our schools that have the same thing. They have mental health issues as well. And so there's so many things we have to do on the backside of things in order to make school work, and making people feel appreciated and loved and supported is number one. And so that's what we try to do with every one of our employees.
Yeah, I don't think I could say that any better. And I am totally stealing your checklist idea of the passion, because I think I always tell my staff that, like, the number one thing is every kid in our building should have an adult right. that they trust, that they right. can go to, you Absolutely. Know. So, and I like that. And they're figuring out that passion. Well, that's only going to add up to more adults that they trust. And yeah, and it's kind of a side note, not really a question, but you kind of touched on it a little bit. Do you see your state doing much to help with the mental health piece, you know, now that we're seeing just, you know, it seems to be increasing every year, the students that we get, we need to have a little more, put more work into that end of it.
We have our Governor Burgum is vested in education, and it really, it goes a long ways knowing that your leader of your, of the state is so vested, but he has pushed innovation and mental health awareness, and you know, every school in the nation is probably short counselors, and there's so many kids that are in need of help, and yeah, our state legislator put in some parameters that allow us to access some more funds this year and in the years to come for mental health. But we in Beulah have partnered with our local clinic, and not everybody has that ability to do that, but we've partnered with our local clinic. We have an impact program, which basically brings our clinic to the school during the day, and helps with students from all ranges of issues. And it's been really good, and it's allowed to take some of the burden off of our counselor. But there's a lot of things going on in the state like that, and it is backed by our legislative group and our governor, so it's nice to see.
Yeah, no, that's good. And anytime you can get the clinic or the counties involved to get some extra resources, that helps a lot. So, yeah, so I just was kind of curious, because right. I know that's just everywhere. Right. Everyone is seeing that, you know, that the importance of the SEL programs going in the school, but it's such new ground for us that, you know, not everyone is in a perfect situation there yet. Now we made it to the end. You survived. So, tough question for you is what do you feel is your most important decision that you've ever made as a leader?
There's just a lot of decisions. I think sometimes as leaders, we feel alone and we don't have to. And there's people out there that can help you. And all those people that I mentioned have helped me make decisions. But something, I guess, in the last year, it's been a difficult year in Beulah. Just, we brought up a referendum. We have an aging high school building that is in need of a lot of repairs, and it's nickeling and diming the taxpayers of the school district. And so when I got to Beulah, there's a lot of things that needed to be done, a new boiler system, new roof, and that sort of thing. We dove into a $17.5 million referendum for a new school, and you can imagine that that's really popular with some and it's really unpopular with others. But I've just had to stay true to the fact that our kids deserve an adequate education, and it is my job as a superintendent of this district to bring light to the communities of what exactly the situation is with our kids. And I know, like I said, sometimes decisions in leadership are not popular, but sometimes decisions in leadership have to be made for the betterment of kids. And I'd say this has probably been the most important decision, because over the last year now, our first referendum considerably failed, like 76% to 24%. But most people in our communities believe something needs to be done. And so we've been sitting around a table trying to figure out, okay, what can we do? And how do we balance taxpayer dollars with education adequacy? And those two things are tasked is a tough task because education adequacy, you know, sometimes it costs money, and the money you get comes from taxpayers. And so it hasn't been popular with some, it's been really popular with others, but I think it's been important for kids. And I'm confident that the kids of the Beulah School District will get something, or will put a dent into the needs of the school. So that's probably been the major decision I've made in the last couple of years. I know I've made a lot of decisions, I think, but that's probably been one that's been tough, because the weight of the school kind of rests on you for that, you know? So.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's not always, you make a lot of, and again, you know, you put that one because it's a difficult one and it has the biggest impact on your community, but you make a lot of decisions every day, you know, that go forward. You know, I'm sure your to-do list is like mine, where you're, you know, you get the easy ones done first. Right. So you get some momentum throughout the day, and then you tackle the big issues and all of that. So yeah, we wish you luck to get that all figured out, because we know that's hard, especially in rural communities too. It's always a strenuous thing. We don't have the equity balance that the bigger cities have. True. So yeah, I hope that goes well there. Do you have anything that you want to share before we end our conversation?
You know, today? First, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you thinking of me. You know, as I was pondering, I've done a couple podcasts and written a book and been on Twitter, and this quote from like Woodrow Wilson sticks out in my mind more than anything. But he basically said that I use all the brains that I have and all that I can borrow. And what you're doing with this podcast is it allows people obviously to listen in and borrow from each other. And Twitter allows us to do that because leadership doesn't have to be lonely. I mean, there's so many people out there that are going through what you're going through or have some great ideas. And I just appreciate, you know, the fact that you have a podcast and you have a mechanism and a medium for people to congregate in and to get information and to hear other stories. And so I just encourage people that are listening, if they're not on Twitter and they're not a social media person, just to jump into it and try it, because I would not even be in education today, I don't think, if it wasn't for the people that I've met on Twitter that encouraged me. I mean, it's an amazing tool that I think everybody needs to have. So.
Yeah. Just developing relationships, right? That's what it's all about, education all around. And yeah, you made some good ones and you've done a lot of great things, and we wish you the best of luck with everything that you're doing. And again, I just appreciate your time and your answers today on the podcast, Travis. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's just how that's been going. So as pretty much as goals, we just want to care. That's number one. I want coaches that care this time around, that truly care, that's not running home. I mean, I get home every night, I say about 11 p.m., and I'm home. I know that's kind of tough for a high school coach, because I tell all high school coaches, if you look at our pay, we probably make $1 a day.
Yep.
Just look at our pay as a high school coach. We're not making that much.
Don't do the math. It's depressing.
We're not. But we love what we do. And I tell kids, we're not going to get – and no pay raises here. We're not collegiate coaches getting pay raises. No pay raises. The thing here is that we love what we do. We love involving ourselves around football.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Now, you're hiring new people to help coach, or you're getting new players, maybe transferring into your school. How do you get them to understand the culture that you want to build?
So the coach that left here, the coach that left here, he left an amazing culture, Darnell Grant. He turned it around, won the first state championship here, and then he won the second state championship here. So the standard is set real high. So that's that. So the winning culture is here. I just have to implement what I want. I'm not Darnell Grant, and I tell him that all the time. I am who I am. I'm Coach Tyrone Turner, and this is what I care about more. And that's just that. And that's just how we got to go about it. And a lot of people be like, hey, you know, we don't care how you implement or things, you know, you're doing.
Now we welcome Coach Tyrone Turner as our next guest on the Threes Company Leadership Podcast. Tyrone is a new head football coach at his alma mater, Malcolm X Shabazz High School in New Jersey. He's a great mentor, doing some great things with his kids. Currently having some women speakers come in and talking about just some overall, you know, how to be a man and just good old character building type things. So we're very blessed to have him on the podcast with us. So Tyrone, let's get started with you just kind of giving us a rundown of your career, how you ended up at your alma mater now.
No, Malcolm X Shabazz is not my alma mater. It's my father's alma mater. So that's, my father went here and graduated from Malcolm X Shabazz High School. I went to East Orange Campus High School and graduated from there. One thing that we started to do here, you know, as a head coach, you learn. At one time, I was the youngest head coach in the state of New Jersey at the age of 28 years old. And I had to learn how to run a program at a fast pace. You know, it was just, everything was just tossed at me. Here. And then you're just trying to run and go. But how I broke into football coaching is that when I arrived at Delaware State University, a coach by the name of Al Levan gave me opportunity to do video at Delaware State University. And then I was working with the defensive staff. And then Al Levan said, hey, man, you just can't work with the defensive staff all day. You need to learn both sides of the ball. When I first started, I was just a linebackers coach, student assistant, video assistant. Didn't anything they asked me to do, which was get coffee, clean a locker room. Shoot, sometimes I had to go pick up the players from the airport and just help out on the staff. So what Al Levan did to me, he was just like, hey, you need to learn offense. You need to not be the typical coach and learn both sides of the ball. So he introduced me to a guy by the name of Doug Sams. Doug Sams is a smart, brilliant offensive guy. Before they started using the term RPO, that's what we was doing, Mike. And he taught me the inside zone, outside zone breaks, the tags that go with it and how to teach it in the right effective way. Can you still
hear me? Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what happened. So arrival there at Delaware State University upon graduation. I graduated. After graduation, I came back home to work at my alma mater, East Orange Campus, under Marion Bell. Worked with the linebackers and running backs. Had the opportunity to coach a little bit of special teams. And then after that, Brian Logan at a different high school in Newark, which is the rival high school of Malcolm X Shabazz. And then he gave me an opportunity to play to be a play caller. He gave me an opportunity to grow as a coach. And I was nothing but about 24, 25 years old. And he's like, hey, I see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And I want you to understand that this y'all time, the young coaches and the young men in this society have to step up and be more mentor to these kids. So I want to give you a little bit more to learn how to be a head coach. And my 2015 year, we lost the game in the semifinals to Hoboken. And it really troubled my whole team. So we worked hard that whole year. In 2016, we were undefeated. Undefeated state champions. Our coach, Amir Marcet, he's now the starting wide receiver at Iowa University, number six. Amir Marcet is a talented athlete, probably one of the most talented wide receivers I've coached in my life. And his IQ of the game is amazing. Upon Weekway, I had an opportunity to interview for the head coaching job at Patterson Eastside. And I went ahead and I did it. A lot of people was like, hey, man, you need to stay here in Newark. You'll be okay in Newark. You'll grow in Newark. And I was like, yeah, I know, but to move on as a coach. At Patterson Eastside, we struggled. We struggled to move the ball. We struggled to score. One thing about a Group 5 program is that you have to have a true weight room program, and the kids have to really buy into it. So that was that. But my first year, we won 5 games. And my second year, I placed 5 freshmen because we was trying to rebuild the program. And then now I end up here. I end up here at Shabazz High School where Darnell Grant has set the standard of winning. I mean, it's unbelievable. He won 2 state championships here. He's an awesome coach. He's a spread guy. And me and him talk football a lot. So this time, when I said as a head coach this time, and we always talk about, you know, me coming back home to the city of Newark because I'm from Newark. What I did with the program this time is that I said, hey, I'm going to write down my goals this time as a head coach. I'm not going to try to coach offense. I'm not going to try to coach the whole team. I'm going to select the where I want to coach, and I'm going to let the other coaches grow. I'm not going to be too hands-on. but I'm going to do more paperwork. I'm going to be more involved with everything else, which is creating you as a human being, which is creating you as a man for this society. So I looked into what's the number one issues that student athletes have with football players. A lot of them was domestic violence. Academics was an issue. Fathers not in the home in the urban area, and you know, being raised by the mother. So, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to make a promise to myself to attack those issues for you and make your day easy as possible. Even with the siblings having to watch, even with the players having to watch their own siblings, I help them out with that as well. I tell them, bring them to practice. We'll get you a ride home, and I'll watch your brother and sister while he's here with me. Because I have my own two children at practice.
And that's important because you had to adjust to what your demographics bring to the table, and you're doing that. You know what I mean? You're tackling the issues. You're helping them. You're not giving them an excuse to not be at practice or not be there. So I think that's pretty awesome what you're doing with everything. You know, it gets into the grind of everything. Right now you're getting ready to get to the start of the season. How do you take care of yourself and make time for yourself during that season so you don't hit that burnout path?
Hey, you know, that is the number one question for all coaches. So what I do on Sundays, and Sundays only, I do not touch football. I go do things with my children because I've been there to the point I think about football 24/7. I think that all football coaches, we've been to that point. Like, when do we give it a break? And on Sundays, I give it a break. Or after the game, I try not to think about it. We're not going to do film breakdown. I'm not going to hold coaches hostage. I tell them, go home to their family and don't think about football for a couple of hours.
Yeah,
you know, but some coaches, we just love the game.
And that's hard. You know what I mean? It's hard to get away from it. But that is probably the number one thing, because you got to get your time, your brain a chance to recharge and just get away from it. You're probably still thinking about it at times, but at least you're with your family and your kids and all of that stuff. You kind of talked about this a little bit with your two experiences and how you kind of change that. So how do you evaluate your effectiveness as a leader? So you set your goals. How are you going to check out those goals to make sure that you're meeting what you're making a promise to yourself that you're going to do this time around?
So this time around, I promised to myself that it was going to be more family and school community involvement. I dedicate myself to them guys and their family. I mean, I put myself on what we call a listening tour, and I go to their houses and I sit down with their parents, and we sit down and we create a plan. Not in my office. I call it a listening tour, which is I go to their house. I pick out the five players' houses I'm going to go to talk to their parents at their house, because I want to see what kind of environment they're in. I want to see how they're waking up in the morning. What are they eating? Those kind of things. So that's what we call a listening tour this year, and that's what I did. And I made sure that I'm going to be more involved in his child life, not just when he arrived here at the football field, but I'm going to know where he live at, where he hang out at. I want to know everything about this kid this time around. So that's the number one thing I could kind of say in Patterson I didn't do, because I was trying to race back home and take care of my home. But City of Newark is my home. And that's the good thing about being here where you work at. So me and the coaches put together a listening tour, which is we're going to go listen to the parents. And appearance is my number one key.
Oh, that's awesome. And if people are not writing that down right now, you're doing yourself an injustice, because that is one of the best things I've ever heard. And I love that, because you're going into their environment and seeing that, especially now you're able to kind of relate. And then what you talked about earlier, when you want to bring in help, bring things to the character development piece of it, you're able to do that. And based on the experiences that you're meeting these kids at home. So that is awesome, Tyrone. I love that. You're going through this right now. What's most important in, you know, creating your football team here? Is it your mission, your core values, or your vision? What are you putting your weight into and your energy now?
It's about caring. And before I put toughness or we got to develop this, the first thing I told myself, I have to place caring, because I have to care. And I told the coaches, I don't want to hear I do not care on the field, because we care. I probably care more than their parents would care sometimes, because I want them to be successful as a man and to learn decision making. One thing we started doing here was that we had to do mock decision making. In the urban area, you could find yourself in trouble. We're talking about gangs. We're talking about finding yourself just into people that's not around sports. And we do decision making on Wednesdays. We call it decision making Wednesdays. and for you to understand where to put your environment and how to separate yourself.
Oh, that's awesome. How do you help your new players or new coaches understand the culture that you're trying to bring to your school?
We show them. I think that the players are real shocked when I show up to their homes and they're on my list. They do not know that I'm coming. So I think we show them more than anything. And then I think another thing that happened is one of our player athletes' parents called, said, "Hey, I got an interview. He can't make it to practice." I said, we're not. I said, what's the issue? Well, I have nobody to watch my little son. I said, I'm going to send a coach to pick him up, and we're going to watch your son while you go on that interview. When you get off the interview, then you can meet us at the football field. She was in shock. She was actually in tears because she hasn't had help in a while. And I told her, I am here to help. I am here to help the family. I am here to help the develop the man and your son, and just to show that we care. So we show them more than anything now. So the players, coaches care.
Yep. Yeah, I gotcha.
I apologize about the.
It's all right. We get it all fixed up anyway. So I know I like it. You're doing great, and you got good stuff. We'll get it all tied together here. We'll do the last one here. Okay. What do you feel is the most important decision you've had to make as a leader yet?
We had to remove a good athlete, probably Division I athlete here. He wasn't trying to buy into what we was doing down here. And one thing I learned that I did at my recent job was that I let what coaches are called the favorite players slide away. And this time around, I'm held all kids accountable. Everybody's accountable to be to practice on time. Everybody's accountable to be the weight room on time. And we're going to live by the thumb rule. And what we mean by the thumb rule is that you must arrive these 5 to 10 minutes early than what you're supposed to be there. One kid didn't want to buy in. He's a real good athlete, but I didn't want to cancel the team this time. So we removed the kid. It was a tough decision, but I made sure this time I was not going to go through that with a basic athlete. I would take a kid now that works hardest than to have a talented kid that wants to be lazy and show poor work ethic.
Yeah, I love that. The thumb rule. That's a really good one for everybody. And that is
The thumb rule. The thumb rule has been big for us, Mike. Our kids are showing up on time. They showing up 5 minutes and 10 minutes before practice. They showing up 5 minutes and 10 minutes before the weight room. If they need a ride, they know they must call a position coach an hour before, and we will make sure we make arrangements to get them kids here on time.
Yeah, and I like that because sometimes, you know, people go, they'll sell their soul to keep those more talented players. But if you have a good, hardworking team and your culture is good, you're going to get wins. And that will trump that maybe more gifted athlete, you know, as thing goes. So you did great today on the interview. I appreciate your time. Is there anything that you want to share with our viewers, like ways that they can reach out to you if they want to connect with you on Twitter or Facebook or any of those things?
Yes, you can reach me on Twitter at Coach Tyrone T. And, you know, I retweeted myself and it's Coach Tyrone T. And that's just that. That's just pretty much what we're doing this time. And the number one thing this time is not about football play. It's not about how talented you are, but it's about how much we care this time around. So that's just what we're doing. And what I did differently this year with the youth leagues was with that we did. I should have mentioned this earlier, Mike, was that I've been doing a whole lot of programs. And we put together the coaches clinic. We put together domestic violence. We put together the student academic plan. And I did free Friday 7-on-7 Friday Night Lights for the kids, and we called it Friday Night Lights, and it's free 7-on-7 with the youth league teams because youth league teams they can't have no competition until August. So that went amazing, and coaches really love what we're doing here, and that was the first time they had a chance to participate in the 7-on-7. Now the whole city's doing it. The high schools are buying into it. The high schools are hosting them and taking a bigger stage in the youth leagues. Because the only way I could keep guys here is for them to know who I am. And a lot of time, the parochial schools, they come in and they take our best kids. So, you know, that's what we're struggling at right now is keeping our kids home.
And bringing them in. That's just a lot of good things that you're doing. And I'll make sure I tab out all those points for you, too, when I share out this interview with everybody. But again, Tyrone, I really appreciate it. It's great always following you on social media, seeing all the great things that you are doing to impact your community, your home, you know, and it's just, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you so much, Mike. Pleasure of mine.
Our final guest on the Threes Company Leadership Podcast is a good friend of mine who had to put up with me and sit about 6 inches away from me, Mary Swanson, who is an instructional coach in the Ricori School District. But she's done that role in many other places and has done a fantastic job, especially really strong at pushing teachers into using technology in the classroom, and that does a lot with that, and I'm sure she will fill us all in with that. But on a side note, she is my first person vacationing and actually doing the podcast, coming from us live from Seattle. So, Mary Swanson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a nice break from reality here in Seattle.
Yeah, getting your break on before you get your August grind on, so that's good. So, when we get started here, how about you tell us a little bit about your educational path and how you've ended up at Ricori?
Sure. Right out of college, I was actually fortunate enough to start in a charter school in St. Cloud from the ground up. So I was there and very early tagged as leadership in instruction. And so that's how I got into the instructional coaching field. Actually, my second year teaching, I became an expert in the mathematics area. So I'd help teachers with the math side of instruction. And slowly by year 10, I think, was when I was fully released from the classroom to do instructional coaching there. That charter school was possibly closing down. So I went on the search and found Ricori had an instructional coach job, and I got the job alongside you, Mr. Micro.
Yeah, there you go. And that's how it all happens, right?
Yeah.
Put up with that. This next question, I'm kind of interested in. I think I know the answer, but I'm not 100% sure. But who are the people or maybe group of persons or whatever that have impacted you to help you become the leader and mentor that you are now?
You want me to say you here, right, my girl?
No, I do. No, I do not.
I'm just kidding.
And I would not be. I'd be at the bottom of your list. But that's
Actually, I don't know if it's one particular person. I don't know if that's what you expected to hear or not.
No.
I take a little bit from a lot of different leaders, starting from my first professor in school, who was one of those hard-ass professors who were scaring people out of teaching, to just Mary Holmberg, who just left the Ricori district. Just any leader I encounter, they kind of all give me something to think about deeper for myself and add to my leadership style. So whether it's the hard-ass ones who kind of push me to be a stronger person and a stronger leader, or the ones who have that caring, open side. And really, my grandma was a teacher, and so I think at the heart of it, I have a little bit of her pushing me and my dad pushing me. So a little bit of the family pushing me, but as far as influencing me, it's just all the leaders that I've come, whether it's the good or the bad in each of them.
Yeah, that's a good list. Some of those I would have known, others I would not have. So, and I sat beside you and listened to you talk to me a lot. So that's good. How do you take care of yourself? So how do you manage self-care? It is a stressful position. There are, you know, high moments and low moments. So how do you keep yourself level and take care of yourself?
Well, back when I was a teacher in the classroom, of course, the classroom, there's a never ending pile of stuff. So I'm one of those people who said, okay, I'm going to dedicate certain time frames or certain days to certain activities, including self-care in there. So maybe like Wednesday night was my grading papers night, because Thursday is when I gave everything back. But Tuesday was the night that I spend with my family. And I kind of take that still to heart being an instructional coach. Just it's a little bit less homework and more de-stress work. So these vacations, like my vacation to Seattle here or traveling with my sister, is the way I kind of de-stress for a whole year. And just going home and spending time with my family or spending time on projects. And then, of course, just the professional growth. I do a lot of, as you mentioned before, technology, looking at what's new in technology and playing around with it and figuring out how it works. is a way that motivates me and keeps me centered. So, and having fun and joking around, and which you had a lot of with me, that's for sure.
You forgot video games, because you like to play video games on your phone too.
Yes, I like to play. I like to play those silly apps that get you addicted. Like right now, for my son's sake, I've been playing Pokemon Go on vacation to get him more Pokemon.
Well, good. I hope you catch them all for him. That'll be the way to do it. So, how do you evaluate yourself and your effectiveness as an instructional leader?
Yeah, I thought about this one a little bit, and it's kind of a catch 22, because I really see my successful leadership by seeing how the people I work with grow. So if you get that one in the bunch who's a little bit harder or maybe not as determined to grow, you could look at yourself as not being an effective leader, but I think there's always some room for everybody to grow. So it's really about what they accomplish or try in their classroom and seeing them be successful with it that really makes me feel successful. Or if I implement a program, having it be successfully used. So I think it's about the success of my work more so.
Yep. Yep. Take all the positives with you and build on it.
Yes.
I like that. In the organization, Recore, you guys have new leadership and with everything going on there. So how important to you is the mission or the core values or the vision to helping guide you in your position right now?
Yeah, that one was a hard one only because of all the different shifting that's been happening since I joined you at Recore. I kind of thought, oh, this is going to be a little stable, but not. It's all over the place, which isn't a bad thing. It's just something new and different. And I definitely think sitting in the core values right now is probably where I focus most of my energy, knowing that down the path there's a mission and a goal. So, for example, the technology committee that I'm co-chair on, we defined our vision, and now we're kind of defining our goals and our mission to really get back to the core values. But I think I live in the core values because that vision and that distant thing is great for overall clarity. But in order to get movement, you really have to get down to those core things. Are you still there? Hello. There you are.
Can you hear you? You got me?
Yeah, now I have you.
At least it cut out at the right time, so that's all right. Now, all right, we'll get started here. How do you help new employees, since your role, you get to get all those new employees in the building? How do you help them understand the culture of your school district?
Well, it's fortunate that that is part of what I do at Recore, and we have the three-day teacher retreat before the school year starts, and one day for anyone who's not a teacher. And that first day involves that tour of the community and understanding what Recore stands for. And I've heard a lot of people say that that made them feel part of something, understanding a little bit more about it. So I think that's probably the number one thing you should do with all employees is take them for a tour. I know you kind of took me for my tour since I started, you know, at the beginning of August, and it was a lot more helpful to kind of know where you are and see the bigger picture of things and not just see, here's my little classroom. And then after that, just knowing that you're an open ear and somebody there to help and support them, know that they can ask you questions, give them the resources to be successful and feel like they're not overwhelmed, I think.
I think that's a big one, especially when you're new and overwhelmed and just making things meaningful and not more busy work for them. Yeah. So they get in that comfort zone. This is my favorite question. I always save my hardest one for the interview at the very end. And so what do you feel is your most important decision that you have made as an instructional leader?
So I know when you and I came together at Recore in this instructional leadership position, that there was some animosity towards our positions. And I think we as a team made a good decision about taking it from telling and and critiquing what's happening in the classroom to supporting and modeling and listening and coming alongside those teachers. And I think that really has helped. And Josh and I have been able to continue that on. And I think it broke down a lot of barriers that had been in place before. So now people are more open to listening to some strategies or some new approaches, especially when technology comes into mind. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, is going from the telling you what you're doing to the modeling and supporting you in what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I like that. And you do a good job of this, but what do you feel is your best way to creating relationships? Because you do go, like, you don't back down from those hard-headed teachers that don't want to be coached, and, you know, you just don't go for the easy targets. So how do you develop those relationships? What's the best way that you do it?
So I try to first approach it in as much of a non-threatening manner as I can. There's been some teachers who just my position is threatening to them, and not, like you said, not backing down from that. Even if they say they don't want me in their room ever again, or they make up some crazy scenario with me, I think I just am consistently there, and I don't hold a grudge or hold negativity towards those people, and I'll still be professional and support them. And I keep extending that olive branch and just listen to what their needs are.
Awesome. Yeah, I just had to get you to share that with us. Get it out
there. There's always those stubborn ones in the bunch.
There is. It's a good. And then when you're an instructional coach, you deal with that just as much as anybody. So how can people connect with you on Twitter?
Yeah, I just, as I shared with Mike prior to starting, created a professional Twitter account, and it's Recori INST Coach. So Recori Instruct, almost not quite all the way Instruct Coach, on Twitter.
Well, good. And we'll share that when we post this podcast out here in the next day. So I really appreciate you taking the time, especially on vacation. So you must be a good friend if you're willing to do that. But I do appreciate you taking some time and giving us some of your insight on these questions.
Yeah, not a problem. Now we'll see my sister's dogs. Like, I've had enough of you on this phone. Come play with me.
I'll go get it. Take care. Enjoy your vacation, Miss Swanson.
I will. All right. Nice to talk with you, Mike. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Hey there, Threes Company podcast listeners. Have you checked out CoachTube.com? CoachTube is the place to go to master your sport. There is a place where you can download any on-demand clinic or playbook that you can imagine. Also, if you are into it, you can even be your own entrepreneur. You can put up your own material on there and sell it all around the world. I've used it. It's a great asset to coaches everywhere. Check it out. Thank you for listening to episode 7 of the Threes Company Leadership Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this presentation. If you did, make sure you like, subscribe, applaud, check out our sponsors. All of that stuff is always appreciated. Teachers out there, make sure you're enjoying these last couple weeks here before school gets started. And I hope everyone comes back and has a great school year.